The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We always check in with Chairman of the South Carolina Republican Party, Drew McKissick. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well this Monday morning. How about yourself, sir?
I am wonderful. I saw a lot of photos posted on various social media sites over the weekend from the 55th annual Silver Elephant Dinner. You guys must have had a great time.
We packed it out. It was a full house there in the Columbia Convention Center. So I don't know, upwards of getting close to 900 people. I forget what the exact number was. Had the future Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, was our keynote speaker. And, of course, Senator Tim Scott, Lindsey Graham were there. The governor was there. Great crowd. And, you know, well, as you point out, it's the 55th anniversary of that event. The first one, by the way, Ronald Reagan was the keynote speaker way back in the day, a year before I was born.
I remember when he was here, yes.
So it's has quite the pedigree, but it's been a great event for our party over the years in terms of fundraising and also getting folks, quite frankly, just in the mindset we need to be in as we go into the fall campaign and get ready to win in November. So it was fantastic.
Yeah. You over the years have been a lot of great speakers. At the Silver Elephant Dinner. You know, I remember it was really the first time, the first big public event that Richard Nixon spoke at years ago, sort of as his return to the public.
It was.
And he was the speaker one year.
He's been there. We've had George W. Bush there, George H.W. Bush there. And of course, I mentioned Ronald Reagan and several future presidential candidates and a lot of key senators and governors in the process. So again, great time to get our folks worked up and, you know, just laying out again what's on the line, why it's important that we do what we do, and to be involved in reminding folks that this does matter. It does have implications on the policies and the things that we believe in and getting us ready to do our work.
Yeah. All right. So I got to ask you, what was the response from the crowd when Leader McCarthy invited all of you up to D.C. to see Nancy Pelosi hand him the gavel?
Well, as you can imagine, there was just crickets. Nobody applauded whatsoever, right?
Yes.
mean, it was quite the response, I promise you. I mean, there's a crowd of people, not just here in South Carolina, but all over the country who are looking forward to the day when she does have to give up that gavel. And, you know, I'll be quite honest. I think, you know, and I could be wrong, but I think after Election Day is over and we see what we're most likely to see, which is Republican wave hitting the beach, as it were, after the elections, probably, you know, I don't know how soon, but it would not surprise me to see Pelosi and maybe even Jim Clyburn and Steny Hoyer, the number two Democrat in the Congress, to probably announce either that they're not going to run again or they may retire early in midterm. I mean, you know, these folks are in their 80s. They're not going to want to be in the minority in leadership there now. That would not shock me once the election's over with, but we'll see.
Yep, yep. It's going to be an interesting November for sure. Now, was the crowd, are they ready to go? Are they excited about going into November? Did you get them all primed and ready for the midterms?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, well, it's, you know, again, pointing out that and I mention all the time that, you know, and we can get blasé by being involved in this stuff to such the degree that we are. I mean, you yourself used to be a county party chairman. You know, I mean, it's, you know, you live in it and work in it so much that sometimes you get a little bit, you know, numb to the other things that are going on around you that other folks would truly get excited about. And just the fact that it does have an implication on policy and the rules and regulations and laws that we have to live by and how and whether or not they should reflect our values. Being involved in this stuff does matter. So you explain that to them, you connect A to B, doing the work, turning out Republican voters means more victories, means more policies and things that we care about, means that we're less likely to have an administration that would, you know, basically intentionally hamstring our entire economy by shutting off, you know, basically reducing energy production from day one, just about. which puts our economy in the strait that it's in terms of energy prices and the implications on that. And then whenever the inevitable happens and we start to go into a recession, they try to redefine what the word recession means.
So it's yes.
Like, typical liberalism, you know, whenever they have trouble with reality, they want to redefine reality. But our folks understand why that's important and why they need to be engaged, and we're ready to go.
Yep. Well, look, that's after Joe Manchin did what he did to us last week, we've got to be ready to go. I mean, did that surprise you that Joe Manchin did this deal with Chuck Schumer?
Didn't totally surprise me. He is still a Democrat. And, you know, I think it didn't shock me to see him, you know, go as long as he did to get them to come around and dance to his particular tune and figure they would get more desperate as they got closer to Election Day if he played hard to get. It didn't surprise me to see him get something that he says that he wants. Let's put it that way, because this is his point of maximum leverage, you know, because if Republicans take over the Senate, well, he's got no leverage anymore, you know.
Yeah.
So at this point, you know, when it's a 50-50 Senate, he's got all the leverage in the world. So it wasn't a big shock, to be honest with you.
Yep. Yeah, I guess it surprised me, but it didn't surprise me. I mean, you know, I've got a buddy who says Democrats will Democrat. and he was definitely Democrating, you know, but for some reason, well, I just felt like he would hold strong. I mean, how do you go from last year not supporting Build Back Better and saying, hey, look, I don't want to feed this inflation monster. And then he comes around this year and it's less spending, but it's still feeding the inflation monster.
Well, it is. And again, sometimes rhetoric is just that, rhetoric, you know, but at the end of the day, don't forget, you know, Democrats make their bones politically to a great degree by, as Ronald Reagan once put it, using other people's money to buy votes. You know, so in terms of getting what they think they want for their particular constituencies, that's what they use the taxpayers' trough for. I mean, he's not as big of a spender, let's say, as Bernie Sanders, but that doesn't mean he doesn't want to spend money. And it's particularly whenever he can get extra dollars flowing to West Virginia. And, you know, to his credit, you know, protecting to a greater degree than it otherwise would have been, I guess, you know, some of the energy sectors there in West Virginia.
Right.
Not that it's still not going to be, you know, a negative step. But again, this is his point of maximum leverage. After November, you know, if Republicans take back the Senate, you know, he's a nobody again. And he's in a state that Donald Trump carried by about 30 points, if I recall. So, you know, this was his time, I guess you would say.
Yep. All right. One final question for you. Nancy Pelosi, she's in Singapore this morning. Does she stop in Taiwan?
You know, I think she probably will, and I think she probably should, personally. I mean, you know, we're talking about the freedom of navigation here, for one thing, and, you know, and visiting other countries, you know, to have one country tell you you can't go to another place. I think, you know, it's not the kind of leverage we should give the Chinese over when and where any of our dignitaries go to any particular place. I think she probably will. And again, I think she should, but we'll see. This is kind of bluff, I think, quite frankly, that you need to call and let them know that we're going to call it. But, you know, again, we'll see.
Yep. It's going to be interesting to watch for sure. Drew McKissick, always good to talk with you. Have a great week, and we'll talk again next week.
Yes, sir. Now, have a great one. Thank you.
All right.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.